Martin Zender running on fumes. Just got back from Detroit, Michigan via Ohio. Been gone for three nights, four nights. I don't know. I've lost track. Anyway, I am back here in Pennsylvania. It's late at night on Monday evening, and needed to get up here and talk to you. I can't wait to talk to you about the imitation that the church has become. And there's an example Paul gives in 2 Timothy concerning this imitation. He brings up the names, the infamous names. No, not Tryphena and Tryphosa. Those are intimate names. I'm talking about infamous names. No, not Hymenaeus and Philetus. They're infamous, yes. They denied the resurrection. No, they misplaced it. They said it had already occurred, just as damaging. No, I'm talking about Jannes and Jambres, which is traditionally the names of the two magicians. They're not mentioned specifically in the book of Exodus, where we're going to go and show you this crazy event. But we're going to take it from Paul that these were their names. First of all, a little bit about Michigan. Dan Sheridan and I recorded 15 shows on Saturday. It was an amazing thing. And we recorded on the Divine Secrets. 15 shows in one day. But of course, you know, we're doing it Monday through Friday, Monday through Friday, Monday through Friday. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to be spooling out these shows on the Divine Secrets. This is a heck of a series. We got on a roll. There's a lot of information here. It was inspired, and we had a wonderful time at the, what was the name of that hotel we were at? Yeah, Extended Stay America in Dearborn, Michigan. So, again, thanks to our host there, Harsh Bhavsar, made it possible for Dan and me to meet face-to-face, and I think the sound quality is pretty good. I heard the shows at my sister's house this morning. I stayed overnight with Kelly, the president of Stark and Hartman, and I listened to Dan and my show. You know, my speakers weren't working in Michigan, so we couldn't hear ourselves. So I just kept looking at the monitor, looking at my the scales there to watch those sound waves going and trying to keep it within the right range. And so I was hoping for the best. Listened to it this morning. Clyde Lynn Pilkington III, C3, affectionately known here, he processed that show while I was still in Michigan, got it up. Sounds great, so thanks to him. He's going to have double work for 3 weeks doing my show and doing the Zender Sheridan show as we talk to you about the Divine Secrets. Now, we know Christianity is an imitation of the truth because Satan... Oh, you know that Paul mentions Satan more than any other writer. Paul mentions Satan more than any other writer. This is because Satan opposes present truth, and he's very, very nervous about members of the body of Christ because we're going to usurp his place. Satan is now in the heavens. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's going to be cast out of heaven in the book of Revelation. Going to get to that when I start my series on Revelation. Stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, he's holding fast there, and he's opposing us. He's opposing those who will one day usurp his realm, and that is members of the body of Christ. He hates us, and, you know, that's a scary thing. First, we're born into the world. That's scary enough. None of us asked to be here. And now we find we're in a place where there's a lot of trouble. Man was born for trouble, Scripture says. I'm not sure where. Read the whole Bible. You'll find it. And then we find out in Ecclesiastes, somewhere in Ecclesiastes, read the whole book, you'll find it. It is an experience of evil. Elohim has given to the sons of humanity to humble them by it. Then you're born and you find out that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. What's the first thing you do when you come out of your mommy's womb? You breathe air. They cut that umbilical cord. That's enough of that for you. And you have to breathe air and you choke and gag. And welcome to Satan's realm. However, greater is he who is in... What the heck is that? Oh, there's a car speeding down the road. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That's a comfort to me. If Satan's this far from you, God is even closer. He's right there, and Satan can't bring anything against you. I was talking to somebody in the car on the way over here. Somebody from California called me, and I had to comfort this person concerning the fact that yes, all the members of the body of Christ are under some kind of attack. I believe this. Every member of the body of Christ is going through something, and this is nothing less than a satanic attack, and it's real. And this person asked, do we need angels, Martin? Are we protected by angels? I said, no, we don't need angels. And this person had a certain other person teaching her and was concerned that this person was teaching her falsehood, or this person was teaching truth, and this my friend wasn't able to discern. And so I was helping her, and she said, could this be an angel? And I acknowledged that there are angels that visit humanity unawares, but no, we do not need, or nor are we given by God, the intermediacy of angels, because angels are for Israel. From what I understand, messengers belong to Israel and they help Israel. We have Michael, the archangel. We have Gabriel, who brings important messages to this planet. But we have access to the Father with confidence. That's the privilege of the body of Christ. God doesn't send us messengers. Angels are messengers. That's the Greek word, messengers. Oh, that's the English equivalent of the Greek word. And a messenger is a gopher. Angels are basically glorified gophers. They're on the lower spectrum of the celestial dignitaries. They're the page boys. So why would you want to see an angel? Why would you want to be mediated by an angel? Our mediator is Jesus Christ himself, and we have access with confidence to the throne of God through the mediation of Jesus Christ. So no, we are not visited by angels. If you think you're walking or talking with an angel, I would question the source of that celestial being. Now, having said that, we are opposed by malignant spiritual forces. You know, this is the bad part of that. Well, we have access to God through Christ, but we're also visited by demons. How do I know this? Well, the Apostle Paul said that subsequent to his being taken to the third heaven, he said he was given a messenger of Satan to buffet him in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe, given a messenger of Satan in the flesh. And in other words, the Apostle Paul had a demon. That's hard to say. But again, I say, comfort you by this. If Satan's this close, God's this close. If Satan's this close, God is this close. The Spirit of God makes its home in you, and it causes all things to work together for good. In fact, the messenger of Satan Paul had was given to him to work together for his good. And God said, the Lord said, that's going to keep you humble. My grace is sufficient for you. Paul said, lest I be, you know, elevated beyond measure because of the revelations I saw, this messenger of Satan was given to me. So back to this, I think that every member of the body of Christ is being opposed today by either Satan himself or a messenger of Satan. We're not possessed. This isn't the day of satanic possession. I've also been asked that. Martin, is it possible that Satan is possessing people? There's only one case I know of in the entire scriptures where Satan himself possessed a person, and that was Judas Iscariot. That job was so important that Satan did not leave it to any of his subordinates. He subjected Judas himself. Satan entered into him. It says in one of those four Gospels, it's either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Read all four of them, you'll find it. So we're opposed. But the biggest opposition, brings us trials. That brings us trials. It's necessary for us to have trials. Trials are graciously granted us. But going back now to the greatest trial we have looking outside of our flesh now is the organized church. And that's what we're talking about in 2 Timothy. We are winding down in Clyde Pilkington's book, The Church in Ruins. I know, folks, I'm racing through. I'm not really racing through this. I'm excited about it, but I'm also like my nerves are jangled from the road trip, and I've been on the road, and it's late, and I'm doing the best I can here. Listen to this, verse 8 of 2 Timothy 3. Now, by the method by which Jannes and Jambres withstand Moses, thus these also, who are these? Well, those who are led by various lusts, verse 6, we've been through that. Little women heaped with sins, we've been through that. Verse 7, those who are always learning, never at any time able to come to a realization of the truth. We're in the context of truth, we read that. And now we get to the method by which Jannes and Jambres withstand Moses, thus these also, these who are always learning, these who are never coming into realization of the truth, these who are heaped with religious sins, these who have lust to become somebody in the church, these are withstanding the truth. Humans of a depraved mind disqualified as to the faith. We're in the realm of truth here. We're in the realm of faith. Again, I say, remember this, that's the whole crux of 2 Timothy. We're in the realm of faith. We're in the realm of religion. So all the sins, all the deceptions, all the pride, all the various lusts, all the people not able at any time to come into the realization of the truth, even though they're studying and reading like crazy, it all applies in the religious sphere. Thus also, those who are withstanding the truth, men of a depraved mind, disqualified as to the faith, they're withstanding the truth. They're withstanding Paul's gospel because that's the truth for today. How are they withstanding it? By the method by which Jannes and Jambres withstand Moses. Now, I'm going to read you the passage from Exodus of these magicians. We're in Exodus chapter 7, verses 10 through 12. I'm pulling this up from my computer right now because that's what's in front of me. So unfortunately, this is from the New Inconsistent Version. But, you know, we're not looking at translation issues here. Just want you to get the general vibe here. Exodus 7, 10 through 12. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. That's pretty good. But look what happened next. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts, black magic, dark arts, satanic imitation. Each one threw down his staff. We're talking about Jannes and Jambres here, going to come back to 2 Timothy, and it became a snake. So isn't that interesting? How in the world did Aaron's staff become a snake? By the Spirit of God, by the same power that caused our Lord to walk on the water, or the bread and the fishes to be multiplied, or the dead to be raised. By that same power, a hunk of wood, a staff, a stick became a snake. But here's the tricky part. The magicians each threw down their staff, and it became a snake. Now, it wasn't a rubber snake. It wasn't one of those paper snakes. This wasn't a trick. It was a real snake. That is a satanic imitation. These are black arts. This is dangerous, dangerous stuff. Some people control this. Satan works through certain individuals who want to be channels of this satanic imitation. And it's real. Only it's fake. It's fake. It's real in the fact that it looks real. It's real in the fact that it's not paper mache. It's not rubber. These snakes that the magicians produced were snakes. Look, this isn't David Copperfield stuff, folks. So now I'm coming back to 2 Timothy, and I'm going to read you now from Clyde Pilkington's book on page 103. From the life of Moses, Paul illustrates the point he's making. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Moses, as you know, was God's divinely appointed messenger to Israel. Now, this is me again here. Now, folks, I told you before, you don't come up against God's divinely appointed messenger. You don't. The sons of Korah came up against Moses. Who is this guy who thinks this guy's incompetent. He's a buffoon. He's a babbling idiot. That might be so, but that's God's appointed man. You don't mess with them. God opened the earth and swallowed the sons of Korah. Today, Paul is God's appointed messenger. You don't come up against Paul with imitation, but that's just what the church has done. Clyde Pilkington again. Jannes and Jambres were an imitation of the real thing, even to the point of delusion. So it is with Christendom. It withstands Paul, God's divinely appointed messenger for the body of Christ. It, too, is an imitation of the real thing. The real thing is the ecclesia, the body of Christ, which, this is me, exists independently of the religious system. It exists by the Spirit of God. It's united and supplied by the joints and the bands, and God's Spirit works in all of us. That's why we get together and we hit the ground running and we talk about God. This is divinely appointed. It's real. It exists. It's the real thing. But this church, the institution, you see what I'm saying? It's an imitation of the real thing. It says it's free. It says it's liberated, but it has rules. It has regulations. It makes them up as it goes. It tells you you have to be there at a certain time. It appoints rulers and leaders, but these are not appointed by God. They're appointed by men. They're trained by human beings. They go to schools that are built and developed by human beings. They are not God's men, these leaders and these ecclesias, this false ecclesia, this so-called church, which is the Christian institution. It's fake. It's phony. Again, from Clyde's book, The Real Thing's the Ecclesia, the Body of Christ, yet Christendom presents its own version of church to the point of delusion. The sons of Korah had an opposing tabernacle. They had an imitation. Come to our tabernacle. Look, it's just like Moses' tabernacle. But it wasn't, because it was man-made, and the true tabernacle is made by God, or by the instructions given by God. Jannes and Jambres threw down their staffs, they became snakes, but it was false. And you know what happened? I got to go back to this passage, and I want to show you what happened to the staffs of these fake magicians. Each one threw down his staff, it became a snake, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Aaron's snake swallowed their snake. That's what my bumper sticker would read if I was Aaron and I drove away from that little competition. You know, my snake can swallow your snake. You know, my honor student can beat up your whatever. This is going on today. You say, Martin, these fantastic days where snakes are swallowing snakes and magicians are using the black arts to produce these things, those days are gone. No, they're not. They're existing today in a much more subtle way. The snakes are still here. Interesting that Jesus called the Pharisees vipers. No accident. No accident. They were vipers. They were a falsehood. Likewise, Christianity, the Christian church today, is an imitation of the truth. It's full of the bones of the dead. It looks good on the outside. It's evil on the inside. But again, boy, does it look good. We're going to continue with this theme. Until then, if you're in a church, get the heck out of the church. If you've never heard of the body of Christ, then please listen to the rest of these messages. Go back to the beginning of this series. Read your scriptures. Go to concordant.org. Go to studyshelf.com. Go to SheridanVoice.com. Go to MartinZender.com. I want you to hear the truth from men who are trained by God and not a religious institution.